Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that was before its shearers and silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you made his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 91 responsively. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, and the Most High your habitation, no evil will befall you. God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. You will tread upon the lion, cub, and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent. I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know me. They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and honor them my salvation. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was now and is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. For whoever wishes to become great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you, you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, today we are blessed with two more of our young people sharing their faith statements, and we will have, I guess this is the Johnson Day, so Katie will begin.
To me, being a Lutheran is not just being religious. Being a Lutheran means you live your life how God intended you to, and spread a gift of God's peace, joy, and love wherever you may be. The scripture quote I chose was, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with any righteous hand." Isaiah 41:10. I like this quote from scripture because it says that God will always be there for you no matter what, because you are his child and he will be your savior. My most influential person in my faith journey would be my ninth grade ethics teacher, Mrs. Yandel. She was very outgoing and you could talk to her about anything in her class. One of my favorite things about her was that when people fell asleep in class, she would say not to wake them up because God talks to people in their dreams and blesses those who sleep. She was a very kind woman who I believe helped me understand more about faith. I pray daily for many kinds of things, and some are for my benefit, but most are for others. I pray for my family, friends, school, health, well-being, and whatever comes to my head before I pray. I like to think of prayer as a conversation with God, but sometimes you can't always hear what he is saying to you. I believe by the end of my faith journey, I will be able to see and hear God in my everyday life. Thank you.
My faith journey started in January of 2011. My parents told me we were going to try a new church, one in Point Loma by the name of St. Peter's. I told them that David Pepper, my friend from school, went there, and over the years, David and I grew closer through school and church. He was influential to me through my faith journey. Another influential person through my journey was the Vicar Joshua. He taught me about religion and what it means to be a Lutheran. Being a Lutheran means that you believe in Jesus, but believing in the Lutheran faith means more than that. It means that Jesus is God's only Son, our Lord. He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. It means that you know that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. After dying, he was resurrected by God. Lutherans know all of that and believe it with all of their hearts. We are baptized as children to know this as we grow up. Baptism to me means clearing your body of sins when you were a child, so that as an adult, you may know Jesus. It follows closely with prayer, where I think you talk to Jesus. You must remember all of these as a Lutheran so that you can be saved from your sins. As a Lutheran, you should not fear humans and how they judge you, rather fear God. As it says in Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of people, they can only kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. The only one you should fear is the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. Last summer, I went to confirmation camp in the mountains. I went with David Pepper, Brody Foley, Sean Webster, and Katie Johnson, my sister. They're all being confirmed with me next Sunday and have been with me this whole journey since I came to St. Peter's. Confirmation camp was the best church experience I have gone to, and I will hold many memories with my fellow candidates through this process. I have cherished all of the time that I spent with my friends as we shared our faith with each other through the church. We're all friends through this, and as we get confirmed, we await the next candidates to go through the same process that we did. Hopefully they share all of the memories and faith that I shared with my candidates through this whole process. Thank you for listening.
Another candidate who won't be sharing a faith statement with us today, Sean Webster. He's on a swim team, and he's an excellent swimmer, and he has a meet this week. So he shared his faith statement last Sunday with me at our confirmation class. So and he's actually very relieved. But what a wonderful opportunity we have as a faith community to hear from the mouths of these young people themselves how important your example is to them. And each of these young people have had a prayer partner, someone who's been praying for them every day by name for these 2 years that they've been in confirmation class. And last week we were sat those members of the congregation next to those young people and had an opportunity for them to interview one another about confirmation and faith. And I think that's a growing experience, a faith growth experience for our young people to hear from someone other than their parents and the professional religious people, but from folks who truly care about them and their faith. So I'd like to encourage you to continue to pray for our young people, and maybe if you are interested in being a prayer partner for our new candidates next month, we will be starting the confirmation process with new children going into seventh grade. So I think we have two or three children that will be in that class. So we continue that. Today we're also looking at this day is called Bread for the World Sunday. And I think it fits well with the scripture, the passage that ends saying that Jesus came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And we, following that example of Jesus, it's our responsibility, it's our privilege to serve others. Bread for the World is an organization that gives a voice to people who don't have a voice, people who are suffering from hunger because of poverty or because of famine around the world, especially in the United States, but also in other places in the world. Bread for the World gives a voice. They lobby for farm and health and agriculture kinds of bills and concerns. They are also, it's the problem with hunger and and food in the world is not scarcity. There is enough food in the world to feed the world. There is a problem with distribution. And there's a problem and a lot of that comes not because we don't have trucks to drive it to people, but because there are wars and there are conflicts and there are people who are concerned more about themselves than about others. And so we end up with the inability to distribute the food that is available for people. So we have starvation in our world. And even in the United States, there are people who are hungry every day. Bread for the World is an organization that tries to eliminate that, to give a voice to those people who have no voice. If you could make a contribution to Bread for the World, make your check out to St. Peter's. There's envelopes in your pew box, and just write Bread for the World in the memo line, and we will make sure that that is distributed as it is. Our song today, our sermon hymn, is a song that was written especially for Bread for the World Sunday. So pay attention to the words of this song and let it touch your heart. And maybe it'll touch your pocketbook too.